So thank you for joining us on this beautiful July 3rd. And first, let me welcome you to what Tammy calls the COVID shuffle. Both Tammy and Chip have come down with COVID and they have symptoms and they feel terrible. So we want to hold them in prayer. I did tell them they may be carrying this co-pastor thing a little too far. But this will be an experiment in sermon tag teaming. Tammy did a lot of research for her sermon. She provided a title, an outline, she did all the liturgy, and then she got sick. So I'm picking it up from there. Anything you really like in the sermon, tell Tammy. Anything you don't like, tell me. So happy July 4th. We've been celebrating a lot of holidays lately, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Pride Day, and I'm betting July 4th is a holiday with a history that we all know. We are celebrating the founding of our nation, a nation forged from a desire for autonomy, for moral agency separate from any imperial powers, a holiday all about freedom. Tammy reminds us, and now I'm quoting from her notes, unfortunately, that freedom has been misappropriated over the centuries, and especially in recent days, by far too many in our nation who would coerce us into their limited understanding and ways of thinking and loving, working and worshiping, surviving and thriving, not just in this nation, but on our planet. Many of these people and institutions have sought to impose their limited viewpoints, theologies, and ideologies on others. That's the end of Tammy's note. And we can think about freedom in two different ways, the freedom from and the freedom to. And Reverend Terry McDowell Ott, writing in the Presbyterian Outlook, reminds us that, and now I'm quoting from Reverend Ott, in our lectionary from Galatians, Paul writes about the nature of Christian liberty. In Christ, we are not freed from responsibility, not free to do whatever we want, or free to indulge in self-centered desires of the flesh. Rather, in Christ, we are free to love, free to care for, respect, and cherish all lives. Now you might have noticed the title of the sermon is The Fruits of the Spirit, and in Tammy's notes, she talks about how much she loves fruit. And when she thinks of Independence Day, she thinks of blueberries, strawberries, and watermelon. I immediately saw a whipped cream, that's where I went, piled with strawberries and blueberries, appropriately red, white, and blue. In fact, when my wife helped me with the sermon, she said, and that's what we're gonna have for dessert today. In her notes, Tammy says this, in our scripture lesson today, Paul is encouraging us to enjoy, not only to enjoy, but actually to produce a different kind of fruit. A fruit that is not grown on a tree or in a field, but produced by the life of faith, especially life in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. This fruit is a natural outgrowth of the freedom we have been given through Christ Jesus, freedom from sin and death, freedom from self-centered perspectives and concerns, freedoms from the limitations that our all-too-human perspectives and institutions put on us. That's the end of Tammy's note. Now, Paul tells the Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is, it's a long list, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That is some list. Those are some fruits. How many people do you know who exhibit even one of these? What does it say that we know so few people who are patient, peaceful, kind, and generous? I am a follower of Jesus because I want to learn how to have the fruits of the Spirit. I join the Centering Prayer Group every Wednesday night because I want peace, patience, and faithfulness. I meditate and pray every day because I want kindness and self-control. I'm on the Stewardship Commission because I want to nurture the spiritual practice of generosity in myself and others. So let me ask you, what about you? Where are you finding the fruits of the Spirit in your lives? Is your freedom leading you there? Paul tells us, if we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. To whom is Paul speaking? Who are these Galatians? Let's keep in mind that almost all of Paul's letters are written to congregations that are, to put it mildly, having issues. We aren't exactly sure which churches in Galatia Paul is writing to, but we do know this. When Paul first visited these churches, the relationship was one of warmth and acceptance. Everybody loved him, and then he would go away to the next place, and while he was gone, itinerant missionaries arrived, preaching a different message, and these missionaries were dividing the community. In the part we read this morning, we are reminded again of the power of love when Paul says to them, "For you are called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become," and my version says enslaved, the version I read this morning I think said slaves, "to one another." So basically Paul is saying, remember, your actions affect others. And the Galatians bounced backward and forward from hedonism to legalism, and they weren't paying any attention at all to how what they did affected the rest of the community. The only purpose of our freedom, Paul says, is to become slaves to one another. And Tammy puts it this way. Paul's stern admonishment is that the freedom they have gained in Christ is only for the purpose of faith working itself out in love. It is a freedom that produces the fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to read that line again because I love this. The freedom they have gained in Christ is only for the purpose of faith working itself out in love. So we're back to this idea of loving one another. And Paul tells us what loving one another looks like. Look at the gifts of the Spirit and imagine a world where every single one of us lived out those gifts. What would such a world look like? What does freedom look like when we're slaves to one another? Now, if you're having trouble with the word slaves, as I had trouble with it, let me read you Eugene Peterson's translation of this verse. It is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. Just make sure you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. So what does this mean in practice? Well, Tammy has some suggestions, and her notes include these thoughts that I want to share with you. We as individuals, communities, corporations, and nations are not free to pollute the air or water if it means others will no longer have safe and healthy places to live. We are not free to carry a gun anywhere or anytime we want if it might put other people at risk. We are not free to practice our Christian faith in public situations where ours is the only faith represented or presented as normative, or where we are an authority figure and those under us might feel pressure or coerced to participate against their own beliefs. We are not free to impose one religious viewpoint on others, especially when it takes away moral agency and choice in matters regarding their personal health care, relationships, and family concerns. Those are Tammy's notes. We aren't free to do whatever we want, Paul says. We aren't free to impose our beliefs on others. As Charles B. Kosar says in his commentary on this passage, freedom is a gift which increases its value in the using and can be lost through misuse. We are free to love one another, to rely on the gifts of the Spirit, to use our freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. We aren't free to do anything that harms our neighbor. And then I don't know how many of you follow Diana Butler Bass, the wonderful historian, but this particular passage we read today was the lectionary reading actually for last week. And so Diana Butler Bass wrote in her newsletter, The Cottage, "We need to understand that in choosing our neighbors, we are choosing a path toward truer freedom. It doesn't mean that we'll magically agree or that the problems that got us here will be fixed. But it does mean that we can, at the very least, create new possibilities that don't involve hatred, violence, and civil war. Freely deciding to love our neighbors is the bond of liberty most needed right now." So as you celebrate this July 4th holiday, may you enjoy and give thanks for the freedom we enjoy in this country, and even more, the freedom we have been given in Christ Jesus. As we reflect on and value the gift of freedom, may we use it to love one another, serve our neighbors, and produce the fruits of true freedom: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is the freedom for which Christ has set us free, and in God's realm, there is never a law against such things. Guided by God's Spirit, let us live by the Spirit, enjoying and sharing the fruits of true freedom with all the world. May it be so. Amen. Will you join me in reading the affirmation of faith that is printed in our bulletin? God's love frees me to be the person I am without having to become more attractive, more intelligent, more popular. God's love frees me to live in confidence, not needing to be self-absorbed, but ready to listen and to hear the stories of others. God's love frees me to take risks, to surprise even myself with courage, sometimes to fall flat on my face, but always to move onward with the knowledge that God is encouraging me. God's love frees me to view the world not from the standpoint of wealth gained or ambition achieved, but from the perspective of relationships lived and human love shared. God's love frees me to put my sins behind me, to know that no sin is too great or too small to be left open and healed by God's gentle touch. God's love frees me to reach out in service and to love others as I have been loved. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us